Well, we will go ahead then and call our meeting to order. And everyone should have thanks for being here. Commission members as well as citizens that have joined us.
Citizen.
Thank you. We're glad you're here.
Citizen. Yeah.
Well, there could be dozens watching online.
It's true.
That'd be good. So, we'd like to just remind you to have your mic on because we do have possibly people watching online. That way they'll be able to hear you. And just a little roll call. Gavin's here. Heather? Here. Richard's not here.
Yet.
We'll watch for him and see. Ben is here. And I'm here. Consideration of the agenda tonight just has two items: consideration of approval for minutes, and then the staff will be presenting on existing conditions for Manti City 2026 general plan. We got to change this just a little bit. Richard is here.
Awesome. Thanks for coming. The book's right there.
Do you need a moment to review the minutes, or have you had a chance to look at them already?
I am.
Okay, we'll take just a moment here and give you time to look at them.
Oh, shit. Did they look good out?
There's one item I noticed in there.
You sent out before the meeting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't do that too much. Not that I would know if they were out or not.
Great. Let me know when you've had time.
I'm depressing. I was reading before.
Gotcha. While they're finishing reading, I do want to just make a note here for Matt. There is one item on this that is Ben welcomed everyone to the meeting. But I was present right after that. So in the minutes it says I was absent that meeting, but I wasn't. Yeah, that's why I'm bringing it up. It shouldn't, but it does. It probably does because you marked it when the meeting started, and I came in right after he welcomed people. So that's why it shows me conducting it, but being absent is because I came in after you welcomed everyone. That would be the only correction that I can see.
Is the header the same? The
header says that.
I think that was kind of changed.
Yeah.
In the meeting, it talks about me.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah, it does have me in there.
It was just your ghost.
I'll change that. That's quick. That's the only change.
Is there anything else that you see that needs attention, or is it good?
I think it's good.
Your motion to accept then with that change?
I'll
second. So Ben has motioned that we accept the meeting minutes with that slight change, and it was seconded by Heather. Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Unanimous. So we'll move to the Planning Commission staff report. Portion of this meeting, and we want to thank the staff for the work that they do. And this is a pretty extensive packet that we've been given, and I appreciate the work that's gone into it. We look forward to hearing from you, and I also want to ask you, what other than allowing us to be brief, is there anything you would like us to do with regard to your presentation, other than listen?
If you have any questions or comments, you're free to give them at any time.
Okay.
there's a lot of information that I'm going to be telling you, but it is something I would like some feedback on, okay. Since we're still in the process of the plan. This is kind of a part one of two of everything that the plan is doing, so we're about halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
In city council, they talked about a bike path from here to Ephraim, and I know it's on the west side, but then, like, it's going to go over on the east side. Do we want to talk maybe about how we can connect that? Because there's no stoplight, and running or riding your bike across Highway 89 is kind of dangerous.
What we just need is all the citizens to do what you're doing and give us this kind of thought. Would it help the presentation that you're going to share for us to talk about that right now, or would you think we should wait until after we get through what is on the agenda here?
You might be able to talk right after about it, actually. Okay. But I think it's something we can discuss.
Okay.
Try to make some information on it. Okay.
Yeah, and that'll help us inform us. So help me not forget that. When we're done with this agenda item, we'll come back to that.
All right. Well, first, I apologize to Mary, and she'll see the same presentation tomorrow. And two, for some reason, it's only letting me mirror the screen and not double, so I don't have any notes, so I'm going to go mostly off of what I remember. So bear with me, because it won't show me my notes. Okay, so this is what's called an existing conditions analysis, and we'll talk about some direction for this general plan as well. It's been, and just as a reminder, it's been since about late February, since we began this process. We've had a couple of events with community members, and we'll discuss that in a second, as well as talking with you and the city council and committees to bring this together. A lot of this, what I'm going to be presenting right now, is what I personally have been working on as staff, a lot of background information to hopefully help us understand context where we are. So, let's see if I can grab some form of notes really quick.
So, just for me to know, if somebody's tuned in watching this right now, can they see that? What's on your screen?
We don't have anyone on right now.
Okay.
But usually, yes.
They would be able to see what's on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I would be on right now and share it with them.
Okay, great.
Are we doing a video broadcast?
Yeah, you can see
it
on Instagram or Facebook too, I think.
Hello, everybody. Did you comb your hair?
It's posted on
our website. And it's posted on the website as well.
I combed mine.
So, is it posted later for people to view?
It is not.
Okay.
It's just live.
That's fine. I just wasn't sure.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
So, before we talk about maps, zoning, transportation, housing, all of this stuff, I want to start with something more important. Why people love Manti and what they think of. So that I have a question for you. When you think of Manti, what comes to mind? Rhetorical, can you mind? A lot of what I've heard when I talk to residents about this is the same themes over and over again. They love history. They love the history of Manti. They love families. They love that it's a small town and that they love the neighbors. They love the mountains. They love the feeling of it being a small town. And I think that's really important just to keep in mind. What we love about Manti. And we're going to talk about how it got to be what Manti is now. But I would like to say, just to preface, like I mentioned, the plan created with the community instead of for the community. It's kind of an integrated approach for experts to decide what is best. And a better approach, what we're trying to do, is the community to define what the values are, and our role is to help turn those values into actual decisions as policymakers. So, just a brief update quickly on community engagement, what we've done and heard so far. We've done some walking tours. We've done booths at community events, such as the 4th of July in Rat Pink. We've done a community-wide survey that we just launched. We have about almost 200 responses already, and I'll talk about that more in a second. We also began interviews with local business owners. I've been going at least to start down each week, but we hope to hit more than that. Hit every business we possibly can in Manti to hear about them and their needs. Attend local community groups to present on general plan, and online information videos are starting to be posted about it as well. So just to talk briefly about this community-wide survey that we launched, it's based on questions from the last general plan 10 years ago. It's cool because we can kind of track from the last two general plans, the last 20 years, using the same questions, where people are at now compared to where they were a decade ago. And I have in your packet, I think if you turn a couple pages in, I have a pretty in-depth summary of what people have said thus far on the survey responses, and you can look over those. And as more people come in, I'll have a final presentation on the survey for planning commission and city council. But that's just what we have so far. So if you have any questions on that, you can ask. Very interesting stuff.
All of you. Yeah.
Very good data. We'll get on
to it. I read through it last night. Have we had a lot of like interest in art type stuff?
We've had some, not a ton, but just some people have mentioned it.
Just because I know people up north that considered moving to a small town, like what they would do would come here and like set up a dance studio, but I'm not sure that there's enough. They've asked me about it, and I'm like, I don't know.
One of the responses on this survey talks about those types of things and asks, okay, would you like a more community events? Would you like more arts? You know, would you like a community center? And we've had actually more people than I would expect that are on that. But it's not like the top thing that people said. But I just responded.
I think there's a market for it. I have a cousin out in Chester who's doing it in her basement, and she's filled up with quite a few classes really pretty fast. And I know of several individuals that will go up north,
right.
Spanish Fork and other places, and they're doing that with their kids on a weekly basis. And so I think there's a pull for those kind of things.
I agree.
So are the bullet point list, so just a quick tip in the future to make this easier, it would be great to have the pages number.
Yes.
But I'm on this page that says what we heard, there's six bullet points. Are those in any order, or that's just not
those are grabbed from three or four different questions that are more open-ended.
I see.
There's quite a few questions that are much more specific on specific items and things. These are like questions like, what do you like best about your time? What would you like to see included in your time? That's kind of what
I see. These aren't in an order of...
No, they're just kind of groups.
Okay.
I did my best to synthesize as many comments as I could into groups.
Gotcha.
Sections.
Yeah.
I saw some common themes and I tried to put those together.
All right.
All of these are nice notes here. So, okay.
By the way, I think it's great that you're interviewing all businesses. I hope you get all of them.
We've had some business owners even come to city council meetings and comment that they've been the ones that have that from the city. And I think it's something I've been learning a lot personally doing these formal interviews with these business owners. So I don't know if any of you saw this old TV show a long time ago called How the States Got Their Shapes. It was very interesting. Very interesting. They talk about the history of how each state is shaped the way it is, right? And a lot of it comes back from all of these very interesting things, from geological formations like mountains and streams to, you know, political things and how people settled, so on and so forth. So what this presentation kind of is how Manti got, not just its shape, but how it's got settled and how it got to be what we have today. So a lot of you know probably quite a bit of the history of Manti. These notes are really quick. So, good general plan, like I said, you know, it starts with some simple questions. Why is this place the way it is? Why does it look the way it does? Why do people love it? And what are some of the pressures that are shaping the future? In the past, if you're aware, Manti City has the plat design almost similar to what Salt Lake City was planned for. And this is unusual for cities at this time, especially in the West, to have a grid pattern, especially blocks and streets that are so large. A lot of this was made to be an agrarian society, and it was designed as a quote-unquote complete community. And This is kind of the concept I want to talk about the most from looking in the past, is seeing what Manti was originally intended to be, what it turned out to be, and what it is now.
Personally, I like the Green Planet. I know most cities don't have it, but I like it because you can't get lost.
I love it.
If you can find addresses, I don't want to go around looking for Pullman Drive or Madison Avenue. I just want to see 300 South, 400 South. Okay, I'm heading south.
It makes it really easy for planning and getting around, right?
Yeah.
So you can even see in that picture that right of way is really large.
Yeah.
I think that's about 100 foot right of way that we have, which most cities have at least half of that, if not like 60 feet. So we've got quite a bit. Our road is paved right in the center of most of those right of ways, but the rest of it having the mortgage, which is mostly paved over the right of way from the residents, right?
Not back in the day, they had to make it so the wagon and horse team could turn around, but now it makes it easier for like fire trucks.
That's right. And it also is, it's a blessing and a curse for city planning, because it's great because you have a lot of space to work. For example, if you really wanted to, you could put multimodal transportation in. You could have roads, you could have bike paths, you could have walking paths, you could have parking. We have so much space for so many things. At the same time, it makes it scarier for pedestrians to cross because it's much larger. You can cross some of our bigger, more all the way paved streets. So talking about design and typology is one thing, but it's very interesting to talk about some of the history. And I want to talk about the geologic history and even human settlement patterns for this area. I have up here, indigenous peoples lived in this area far before any sort of pioneer settlements came in 1849. They lived off of land here, and moved around a lot. This was one of the areas, Manti is one of the areas where indigenous peoples would go through. They would kind of transverse the whole, this and Wasatch County, so same thing, Wasatch County. They were originally part of the Paiute tribe and the Ute tribe. And the Sandwich band of the Ute tribe. And then the pioneers came and they settled it and established Manti as a permanent planned agricultural community, which was very new for this area, and new for any of the settlers at the time. Manti City Creek that came through, and there's an alluvial fan, which is kind of a spreading from the mouth of the canyon that created a very fertile soil in this area. That's why a lot of the city is where it is today, is because we're situated right on top of this alluvial fan in Manti City Creek. And it provided reliable water for settlement planning. So again, one of the main reasons where we are today is solely based on that. Growth followed some transportation routes while also preserving a lot of the historic downtown. A lot of our growth was in that original plat and slightly outward, but as you know probably today, we don't have a lot of growth from outside that original plat too much. So it remains very visible today. You're probably aware that a lot of farmers would farm on the outside of town and live in town, which is somewhat unusual in some farming societies who usually live on the farm. So it created a very interesting place where people could walk around town and get everything they needed and then work right outside of town, which is unique because oftentimes people live in the boonies and not have any access to groceries and walking services. So Manti, again, it was designed this way to become a complete city with full services that people could live off of without having to go anywhere else. And a lot of residents, that I talked to remember this when Manti, where the daily needs were closer. It was easy to get to things, a time when Main Street was active, a time when more businesses served the community, and where people could walk. This history matters because it tells us something important, that the community already knows how to function as a complete town. We've just lost some of those functions since then. So the infrastructure and how it's been built is actually quite great, and we'll talk about those assets in a minute. This is a more technical part of the presentation here on demographics. The graph here just illustrates our tax growth. And this growth is about 1.2%, which is pretty steady. It's really not all that much. It might be a little hard to started looking back in 2000, we were about 3,000 residents, approximately. And then in 2010, in the next survey, we saw that we grew about around 200 residents. So not a whole lot. And then we got another 200, maybe a little less than that in 2020. And since 2020, we've had a bit of a higher jump and got almost 100 more residents. So 1.2% annual growth rate doesn't, may appear modest, but it would result in Manti's population doubling if we stuck to this population growth rate in 55 years. I just wanted to put that in perspective. That would be double everything we need to have here. Double the infrastructure, double the housing, double everything. So 50 years is long and short. For planning, it's short. For lifespan, it's something else. But it is, the gradual and sustained growth here is important to just think about when you're thinking about water, sewer, transportation, parks, housing, water facility, and future plans.
Thoughts?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is the 3594 on that last slide at the right hand side of the line of growth, is that current?
Yeah, and that's an estimate. So all three of these beforehand are from the decennial census.
Yeah.
And then this last one is from the ACS 5-year census, which is, it's more of a snapshot, so it's not always officially as accurate as a 10-year one.
Yeah.
So this number might be a little lower or a little higher, depending.
Yeah, I just noticed that in 20 years, went up 150 people in 10 years, from 2010 to 2020. But it's gone up more than 150 just in the last 6 years already.
And we can see that. We've had more growth in Manti than we've had in the last 20 years.
Doubling the...
Which makes sense because people are wanting to move rural and they can work remote now, so that's very exciting about that.
So
projecting a continuation of 1.2 may not be, if you're to extrapolate actual growth, what we have here, it's probably going up.
And in the plan, I've detailed three or four different ways to population projections of future growth. There's a few different models we can use for that. This is just a really basic one. You should think of it as a linear growth, not exponential. And I've done a few different scenarios to really consider what we'll need as a city, depending on the type of growth we could expect.
Sure.
It's a guessing game, but we can use some models to best guess based on your situation.
Question. How closely is our growth rate tied to the growth rate of income? Do we know?
That's a great question. I can look into it. I compared it, I think, in the official document, I compared it to the county and the state and how much they've grown. Obviously, it's very similar to how the county's grown, pretty gradually. Ephraim, I'm sure, has grown quite a bit more. I'm going to look into those numbers for you and see if there's any correlations with if they bumped up to.
Because
I'm sure it's very cool.
It's a lot of their population growth, though, due to the college expanding. That's what it teaches, the things that it offers.
Yeah, the college is a huge factor for them.
Because if the population swells every fall and then decimates in the spring.
I need to look into specifically how they measure student population when they consider population. Because they do it at the same time every 10 years. So they're looking most likely it's in the fall of 2010 and then it's the fall of 2010 as well. So it's going to be hopefully consistent with that snapshot. I know if there isn't plans to the year, that's harder to know since we don't have accurate stuff every 10 years.
But the community, the family dwellings being built there are not the result of the college, I don't think.
No, because those people just, they come for school and then they leave.
Yeah, I don't know what, they're not a direct result of the college. There's influence and impact and it's a community, so there's a lot of moving parts, but yeah, the population growth that they're experiencing is not more students.
It might be said that way. Yeah, it's mostly people.
A lot of construction, both commercial and residential construction happening.
So this next one's very interesting. They call it a population pyramid. You can kind of see here the demographics of male and female in the age group. Manti has a large base of youth ages 15 to 19. You can kind of see this larger line on the bottom here. This is the female side, this is the male side. It's a lot larger than, you know, immediately after, and this makes sense. In the 25 to 29 year olds, a lot of them leave. This illustrates our retention rate for after high school graduates. A lot of them leave and do not come back. And so this is, you know, very interesting to just look at how our demographics shift as we get older. Usually, what you want to see as a healthy city is a pyramid base. So it's bigger and it gets smaller gradually. The good thing about that is that means you have a young population that can replenish the old. If you have too many elderly and not enough young to take care of the elderly, you're upside down pyramid, that would be an issue. So looking at, you know, at a basic population pyramid analysis from Manti, we're doing pretty well in terms of our population analysis.
That was the part that I thought was kind of interesting, was those younger groups, how much smaller they are than the 15 to 19
yes.
year old
yes.
group.
It's interesting too, we tend to lose folks when they're younger and leave after high school, but we tend to have a little trimming too in those late 40s and, you know, 50 to 54. We don't have as many in that category, and I'm pondering on that for a minute.
Yeah, I was surprised looking at the demographics as well. We are kind of a semi-retirement community in some ways, but our retirement community is pretty small, actually, in comparison to the kids we have, which is actually a very lucky thing for a city to have. It's one of the best things to have families and kids in the city, and it's usually a really good indicator of how things are for a city. But yes, again, it's really interesting to see this waste, you know, this drop off.
And there is a kind of a correlation there, I think. I'd say, like, if you look at what Richard just said about that small, for the younger 0 to 4, 5 to 9 being small, that I could be wrong, but it's correlated to the really small 25 to 29 year old population, because that's the population that has those children.
Correct. Yeah.
The 30 to 34s are a little bigger, but then you get to 35 to 44, and that's where you have. And the 19-year-olds.
And also,
they're tied together.
Surprisingly, we do have the 20 to 24-year-old group that is one of our larger groups. So it's not like they leave high school immediately. A lot of kids stick around.
We got a lot of boys.
A lot of boys stick around,
and a lot of women leave.
Which makes sense. The girls are getting married, and their husbands take them away, but the boys want to stay, and so they come back.
This is the reason I love population pyramids. They're very interesting.
Yeah.
Moving on here with population by race and sex distribution. So race, it hasn't changed a lot since 2010. The graph I didn't even put up here looks almost identical. We're about 90% white with a few others scattered throughout. It's pretty small here, but I'll go through. We have a category called two or more races, which, you know, usually means a mix. Races, right? So maybe half Hispanic and half white. Then we have other, which they identify as something other than Native American, Pacific Islander, or Black African American. And then the other ones, you know, we have Native American 1%, Pacific Islander 0.8%, Black or African American 0.5%. So in terms of racially diversified, we're not.
Look at our group here. We're very diversified here.
They're very representative, right? And
we have to make their ball.
Yeah, 50%.
Actually,
where's our Hispanic population represented in
that? That's in either the other or Trinidad races. There's a whole separate graph that talks about Hispanic population that I didn't include here, but it does talk about that. So the reason I bring up population by race, it's just helpful for us to understand that despite us having not a lot of minorities, we still do have some. So it's important to make sure that they're included. especially since there's so few women representation. Sex distribution is very standard for most cities. It's surprisingly more male than female. Most cities, most cities that I've looked at in the past is usually 51% female. So flipped. What we have here, we have 48.9% female and 51% male. Again, it's probably what we just discussed, things like job opportunities, getting married, and those kind of things. Moving forward here, the median age here is 38 years old, which is, again, pretty average for that population pyramid. We're not super young or super old, which is nice. It's good. That means we have a pretty solid working base. Age distribution, you can see here, this is kind of like that pyramid mixed together instead of split from male to female. You can see here the 15 to 19 year olds make up the biggest group with 85 plus as the smallest. So talking a little bit more educational attainment, interesting to note here, sorry this is against policy, but in your packets it's a little bit bigger, not that much. We have quite a few people here that have at least graduated with high school degree, about 34%. Then we have the next larger one is some college and no degree, so maybe they want to take a couple years or so and maybe finish. The next biggest is bachelor's degree. About 15% of our population has a bachelor's degree, 7.9% has an associate's. We have a much smaller group at 7.7% that have a professional or graduate degree. And then luckily our smallest one here is a 9-12 with no diploma, which is about 3%. I don't know why it's not showing up here.
I would say I'm surprised at the associate's degree since that's what Snow offers, but
so
I think it overlaps with the bachelor's. I would say that most of those that have a bachelor's of course would have it.
Correct. So Mandalay City residents are pretty highly educated, with about 94% having a high school degree or higher, which is a good thing. 23% that have a bachelor's, like I said. So this next chart is educational attainment comparison. So this one is with the city, the county, state, and the United States as a whole. The yellow one here is a high school graduation. Sorry.
Can I just ask for clarification?
Yes.
On that last, the last, oh, it's that chart, yeah, that graph, mm-hmm. on the left. The 9 to 12 no diploma slice mm-hmm. looks, just visually comparing it to the associates, like it could be 6%, 5-6.
I think it's at least 5. I don't know.
Yeah, just the size of it. That surprises me.
Yeah, so.
Who didn't graduate?
We have some people who didn't graduate.
I would guess it would be a lot of the elderly people.
It might be mm-hmm. 5 mm-hmm. out of 100, 1 in 20. Mm-hmm. That's really good to know.
So, compared to the county, state, and national education figures, Manti performs pretty well for high school diploma or GED attainment. It's higher than the county. This yellow line here, the 94% for Manti, is high school graduation, which Santa County is 91%. It's even higher than Utah in total. So, we're pretty good with high school graduations and higher than the U.S. average at 89%. So, but for the bachelor's degree, it's almost the opposite. In Manti, we have about 23% of a bachelor's degree or higher. Santa County, we beat. In Utah, we're underneath. And the U.S., we're underneath. Just see. So, talking about housing just a bit, and this isn't a comprehensive housing demographics analysis, this is just a few numbers to get us started. So, Manti City's housing stock consists of about 1,163 units compared to our 1,152 of 24. So, we've had about a 0.95% increase. So, really, not too many more housing units since about 10 years ago. I looked at Zillow's home value index for Santa Fe County. and they had an increase of 163% in terms of price since 2014. So they've upped their price quite a bit in the county as a whole, right, for housing. And they didn't have any numbers for Manti specifically, but from what it looks like, comparing housing units at the county level versus the city, it's about the same. It's about 160% of price up for people here in housing markets. It represents, you know, a scarcity of vacancies and rising demand that we have in the state, obviously. So Manti is not immune from the housing shortage.
Well, it seemed like I recall reading the comment in here about trying to still minimize number of houses, yet also keep prices down. And those two things are contradictory. They're not. Anyway, I read those two comments and I was going, I don't know how you attain those. They don't go together.
And that's what people are wanting, right? Is they want less housing or no growth with cheaper housing.
Yeah, which doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Yeah. One of the basics of if you have, you know, supply and demand, if you have more housing, hopefully the cost will go down. That's not always 100% true, but generally it's a true rule. So Manti, we have some work to do if we don't have affordable housing options.
Yeah.
So I would double check the statistic under housing on that first sentence. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it came from. I'm betting that it came from someplace you got it that said that. I think just even examining the city's building permits would.
And I've done that as well. I did include that in this.
This says
there was a lot to include that I didn't.
Yeah, this says that we've
gone up a little.
Yeah, we've only built 11 houses in 12 years. That can't be completely accurate. So
and that's from the ACS data, which isn't always very accurate.
Yeah, that's not accurate.
I don't know more in depth on that one. So the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development considers any household that spends more than 30% of its income on housing to be cost-burdened. So I have here this chart that demonstrates the renter households and owner-occupied housing units, with how much they spend on their income. Is that chart not in
the It isn't. What was the term you said? If they spend more than
30% of their income, then it's cost burden, if that makes sense. So if you're spending 30% or less on your house, every income, then you're doing pretty well. But if you're spending more than 30%, then it's technically not that affordable for you. I didn't have my full notes. It's, like I said, it's not accessing, so I'm trying to remember what this graph is showing. Yes. No. I think it's the expenditure on housing.
This one's comparing owner-occupied housing to owner-occupied housing units. Or
renter of the yellow.
Oh, I meant renter, yeah. Renter.
And then the brown is owner-occupied.
I'm betting it's income. I'm betting the y-axis is income, the vertical axis.
Yeah, so saying lower income, the more renters.
Yes, exactly. Let's see. We have, here's the number, at least that I have, to help illustrate this. 36% of renter households have a housing cost above 30%. So 36% of our renters in Manti are cost burdened. 19% of owner households are cost burdened. It is low. It's lower than the rest of the state, which is marginal.
I've never seen that. I didn't even know there was a question
here. Yes, it's a senior citizen.
It's the American Legion Hall.
Oh.
Oh, the American Legion Hall.
And people meet there every Sunday?
No. It's just an old Presbyterian church that the American Legion uses now.
Okay, so there's not a Presbyterian congregation.
I am surprised at how many homeowners we have. The bars were a lot higher in every age except, or every income level, but the very Lois?
Yes.
Many more homeowners than renters.
The majority of the town is homes and not renters. We have very little renting options.
Yeah. I think that's an important thing for us to take note of.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to have more renters?
If you want a vibrant community.
If you want more tax income.
If you want to have young populations,
usually,
and people that can work jobs that are not at the very, that are not the highest paid,
yeah,
or moving in from out of the area that are,
yeah,
living on retirement.
I guarantee that many people would like to live in Manti, but instead they're living in Ephraim because there's the options.
Yeah, if you want a viable community, a vibrant community, you're going to need to address that.
You need a diversity of people, which means diversity of housing options.
Yeah.
So, talking here, just a quick analysis, and it's not comprehensive, of all the assets that Manti has. There's a few different categories that you can see here. Natural assets, social, cultural, built assets, human assets, and institutional assets. This is Manti's capital, right? This is what Manti has to offer. So some natural assets that you guys know is, you know, on the map on the next page, we can look at those a little bit. It's, again, there's many. You know, we have trails, ATV, rec trails, Manti City Creek, mountain views, open space, for a tree city USA designation. We have a lot of good trees here. Which is, again, it's a natural asset. Social assets, a lot of these Manti retains, these social patterns that a lot of communities have lost. Residents walk throughout the town, children play in the neighborhood, neighbors interacting on porches, strong community relationships. These are a lot of things that people value and look for in the community.
Can we put on their cars that stop in the middle of the road to talk to their...
Yes, yes.
While others are waiting.
Yeah, while everybody else is
going. Neighbors interacting on porches.
While you're trying to turn left off of Main Street, and there's parking training. Yeah.
At least they don't stop on Main Street.
I love that section. That comment notwithstanding, I love this section. What it says there.
Ball games in the street.
That's right.
Roller skating.
Which a lot of people might see as a nuisance, but it's actually a really healthy sign of a good community.
Uh-huh.
Of people taking back the right way, not cars. Cultural assets, we have, you know, our pioneer heritage, historic preservation, craft fame, community traditions, all sorts of events. Built assets, we have Manti Temple, of course, the historic tabernacle, all of Main Street, most of it at least, pioneer homes, along with that, you know, the blue light stone and red brick architecture, schools, swimming pools, sports complex, parks, and so on. Human assets, you know, residents are invested in preserving history here. Local business supports, supporters, we have people that support local business here. We have community volunteers. We have individuals with knowledge and passion for Manti's culture. This is just some of these assets. Institutional assets, we have a Rosalie County seat. Again, we have schools here that even Ephraim doesn't. Civic organizations and facilities. Again, not comprehensive list, but just to give you guys an idea of what we have to work with Manti's or existing.
Can I ask about school? There's always been this rumor of building a new high school. Is that a valid, actual, thought-out thing, or is it a...
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, that's
I'm sure
saying.
There's always been talks of building a new one here or a new one in Ephraim or somewhere else.
Okay.
That's something for us to consider, though, for our future. It's infrastructure, right?
Yeah.
It's something we need to consider. So I just want to wrap up. Again, this is not comprehensive. This is just kind of a brief snapshot. You can talk about the history and the context of the entire place for a very long time. I just wanted some quick brief highlights for you guys to see and to just illustrate the point that Manti was planned as a complete self-sufficient community. That's something that the bones are still there. We have homes, businesses, schools, churches, and attention close together, and it supports, the historic design supports walkability, agriculture, and community life. So a lot of these patterns, like I said, they're still here, and our future plan should focus on these strengths while addressing some of the modern challenges.
I know that people really like the pool here. From other cities, they love this pool.
On our survey, it asks people about that. The pool is obviously one of the top. That other city. So any quick questions on that before we answer the next question about the bike lane?
If we want more rental, do we want to do something like encourage a developer to come in and like build a condo or park complex?
That is one option. There's a lot of ways to build rentals. You can build small homes.
Personally, I don't love the idea because I like the view of the mountains.
One of the best ways that we can do is actually, again, the historic design is a really great example of this. Main Street, the original was designed to have a business on the bottom, the rental on top, or home on top. That's something that we can do. It's small. It matches what Manti is. We don't have to bring in something new like a whole apartment complex while still meeting some of the rentals.
Well, I think expanding the option for a little bit bigger accessory unit, which I believe has already kind of taken place.
Yes.
I think those are things that will encourage motivation in that area as well.
And the city council, ran with what you guys built and even didn't have an official thing that short-term rentals can't be ADUs anymore because they want to preserve that for long-term rentals.
See, and I was going to say, because Ephraim has their moratorium on MDUs for 6 months, right? So
they don't
give an opportunity to have some come over to multi-dwelling units, So just the fact that could encourage people to come this way, they're looking.
So. There's a lot we'll be talking about. Again, we have a couple more months to actually talk about recommendations. So the next presentation I'll have is I'll bring up case studies and recommendations and goals that the Planning Commission can review and the City Council can review based on what we found.
Quick question for you, Jay. One of the things I think about always is the downtown, the Main Street. I don't know that I've ever understood completely. Did the city own any appreciable amount of the building along Main Street, or did not?
Unfortunately, the only things that we own are really the old City Hall and this building, pretty much. And the Senior Citizen Center, which is used.
Oh, the Senior Citizen is owned by
them. It is owned by
It's mostly operated technically through the county.
I don't know why I haven't thought of that.
But we don't own it.
Who's the library?
Yes. Sorry. I missed block. This will block me out. Sorry. I should mention that as well. The complex across the street, we do own in the downtown, which is a great benefit for the entire city, at least.
Thank you. I don't have any questions.
That was great.
And now I think that's helpful to us.
Yeah.
So
the last meeting we held, in our working meeting, it was good to be a part of this process too, and to be updated on how the different sub-planning groups are being organized and tasked. So thank you for helping us be a part of it.
And in terms of the bike path, in our transportation master plan, which was done, I think, about 2 years ago at this point, it does illustrate having a bike path circle this the whole of Manti, the original blocks, right, the original plot design, going up east, down, and then back up, or up west, down, and then back up east to connect. That's the intent, at least, of the city a couple of years ago. We've since got funding to at least start on that top west portion that has plans to connect to the UDOT bike route that would connect us to Ephraim. All of this is in the world.
Is it far enough on the outskirts of town that you're not crossing the streets?
Yeah, it's 800 north. Is where it is currently, and it'll come down 500 west on the west side. Originally, the initial idea was to bring it just straight through Manti on Main Street, but most residents opposed that, and so it was moved on the outskirts.
I think it works better on the outskirts for sure, so you're not worried as much about the traffic.
Which is why they created a loop so that it could be. So it's up to the city in the next how many years to complete that loop. But we've got funding to at least do the first of the loops.
So how do we get, the loop goes around, where does it cross Main Street?
So right now it starts pretty much at Main Street. right by where the new, yeah, north of the cemetery.
Oh, so
along that road.
That makes sense.
So it crosses north of the cemetery.
Mm-hmm. So.
Does it go on the other side of the highway then, or no?
Not yet. So it goes here on 850 North, comes down West Side Road, and then continues up on 800 North. And that's as far as we can get it.
So what's
but
the,
it should go all the way on the 500
North. What's the plan for the structure behind it? Is it going to be an actual path?
It's a paved pathway onto the side, yes.
And then will it have like little pylons or whatever to make it so people can't?
That would be best. We currently don't have money to make it more than the path. We do have future plans that we've even already talked to Jones and DeMille about creating some sort of a crossing here at 850 North to access, you know, the other side. Because the other side would go down somewhere on the other side.
Is it an actual path that's separate from the road?
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
Mm-hmm. It will be a paved separate pathway.
Which is great.
Multimodal pathway for walking and biking.
So it's going to be a bridge over the highway, is that what I know?
That will be very expensive. It will just be a crossing.
Unless we have an awesome donor.
So we're going to have a trip.
Well, city council, I asked that in public comment, because at some point you have to cross Highway 89. Because if you keep the bike path on the west side, you're going to have to traverse all those farms. And so it has to be on the east side. I was like, are they going to put... To me, it would make sense to put in a stoplight where the dollar store is.
Exactly.
But that's up to UDOT. That's not up to
And I was going to say, and UDOT, because you were talking about how we're going to have the little flashing lights for the cross. Is that a UDOT thing or is that a Manteca?
It's both.
Because I was going to say, could we do something like that to help them get across?
So it's not completely 100% determined.
Yeah.
It might be flashing lights, it may be a stoplight,
yeah.
Who knows. I think it would be in best interest for our future development. Because, you know, we have a bunch of houses here, and if they want to walk to the ball fields, they can. So
for the dollar store.
Well, and I was going to say the same thing. If it's a bike trail, you want people to be able to just get on their bikes and go to it rather than like drive there and get your bike
exactly.
out.
Yeah.
So you'd want it to circle the whole town. So it would be.
Well, it's tricky though too, because that is still a faster
for sure.
section.
Correct.
Of the road.
We're working on bringing that down.
Unless we move farther north.
Lower.
Get more houses out that way, it will automatically
So before we do anything on that, I will say I would really love to survey as many residents as possible before we do things like that. Moving forward. Nothing has happened yet except this 850 North and 800 North plan that has been done.
So why is it limbo? What's this? Because it's...
Oh, sorry, I just mean in process.
Oh, it's in process, okay.
Yeah, so the design was... It's still being finalized, at least for that section. It's pretty close to being finalized.
I know this is not official, but every single person that I talk to about a bike trail in Manti says that they would love it. Every single one. I've never had anybody say it.
Unless he goes to
the
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, well, that's all I have.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for that report. Well, do we have any... motion that we close this meeting.
I will motion that we close this meeting.
I'll second that.
Great. Well, we have a motion from Gavin and Richard to second it. All in favor? Gavin stared for a minute.
We all got to motion or second something.
There you go.
It was really good. It was really good.
Buy, sale, and trade, where people want to, anyway, I know we want to attract more business, but not everybody has, there are a lot of people in the town with limited funding. And so, you know, going back to the old pioneer days, I've got 3 jars of plums to trade, what do you have, you know? And do we have like a website or anything like that where
I think the closest thing we have to that is they did do a farmer's market a couple of years ago, but that kind of got chased out of town.
So I saw someone's trying to do
that. Was the county.
Was it the county?
Yeah,
well,
because
they do it.
It's because of the
basically all the cities around us, they just don't do it here.
How does the group want to do this?
Is there hope on that?
We do some guidance.